You know, one reason that I log everything,
and I like to do a video at least once a day or every other day or at least once a week, you know. The reason I like to log everything is because you can log the way your health is, your food, your health, your mental health, your spiritual health, everything. When I catch myself doing a message in the energy of the flesh, I know I need to do some introspection, you know. You might have to forgive somebody, or you might have to do something that change your way of thinking, you know. Recently, you have this, whether the person did it intentional or not, they put on this vision or view that they're just like you. And you come to find out they're not anything like you. And so you have to forgive them, and you have to realize whether it was intentional or maybe they thought, I don't know how they thought that. It don't make sense because it's totally opposite. But anyway, that person, they have to answer before God. I made my choice. I have to answer before God. And so the man and the woman both have to answer for God for their choices. And if you would have just if a person does things the right way, slow and steady, and eventually everything has to reveal itself. And it usually reveals itself the first meeting, the first day, and you just ignore it. You know, the red flags are there, but you just ignore it. And anyway, it is what it is. But you have to do your own communion with God, your Creator. People don't usually change after a certain time. They don't. The only way people would change is some drastic, major life event, because unless you really intentionally get serious about change, unless there's a dark night of the soul and you pray to God and say, God, no matter what, I want to change. I don't care what it takes. Give me a right spirit, a new mind, a new way of thinking. Until you get, you know, serious, and God's going to make sure you're serious, you know. Somebody can just throw a flippant prayer. I know when I was looking around, I said, what is going on with this place? And for 6 months, I would leave work, I'd go home, and I'd just sit there at my computer desk, and I would just meditate. Lord, what's going on? Read my Bible. Next day, Lord, what's going on? I'd sit there for hours. I'd get my work done, and I'd just sit there and just be praying, what's going on? And for 6 months, I did that. 6 months. And he finally said, in an audible voice, I guess he said, if you ask in faith, believing, you'll get your answer, right? And he said, it is right in front of you. In an audible voice. I know it was God. When God speaks, you know it. You know who it is. And I said, it's right in front of me. So then I looked over. Yeah, that's what it was. I was selling books, and I was just to the point where I had studied so much the 666, because the Bible says to count up the number of the beast in the book of Revelation. So I studied that for 5 years. And I said, I know the devil's not winning, but his number is everywhere. What is going on? And he said, it is right in front of you. So I went on a journey to figure out what that meant. I still couldn't do it in the energy of the flesh. I couldn't figure it out. And I said the same thing. Lord, what's going on? 6 months later, I don't know if he answered me instantly right then or not, but he said, it is right in front of you. I can't remember if he answered me that as soon as I said it or prayed it, or if it was a day later or whatever. But he said, it is right in front of you. I think it was instantly. And then I still didn't see it. And 2 months later, that was like in December or something. 2 months later, the whole Shekinah Glory showed up. It was late because I was tired. I was shipping books, and I jumped into bed just to go to sleep real fast. And the Shekinah Glory showed up, and I got downloaded the code stuff. And so he showed me over time that, yeah, the 666 is right in front of you, encoded everywhere, but the blood of his cross is encoded everywhere. And because the devil's full of pride, and it's really man's number, the 666 is the number of man, you know. From your elbow to your fingertip is 6 plus 6 plus 6, 18 inches. And so then, over enough time, the first thing I saw was the blood is everywhere, is encoded everywhere, and then the blood of his cross. And so then I stayed in that train of thought. I had people try to come into my world during that process to try to get me off, and I said to myself, no. I started to see this a long time ago before I got married, and my wife, with all her drama, she got me off track, you know. And so I was seeing it early on, but years later, I just said, no, I'm not going to get off track. Nobody's going to take me off track. So I decoded this place. It took about 6 years, and I really spent 10 years total. And I still, and really, from 6 years to 10 years, getting it down pat, and 10 years to 13 years, just dwelling in it, abiding in it, you know. Everything is the now. There's nothing new. What has been shall be. All storylines happen now. There's no new game. There's no new story. You're in the Bible. You're in a 3D version of the Bible. All the stories, whatever you face in life, it's already been in the scripture. It's all scripted. Your scripture is the script. And if you have a demon or a person contrary to the scripture, just quote scripture, you know. A scripture that I'm quoting today or meditating on is, a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways, right? And an unfaithful person, you can't trust. You can't trust an unfaithful person, right? What is the game? Another verse I'm meditating on, a house divided will not stand. So if somebody's trying to divide your house, whether it's a Jezebel or a Delilah or a whatever, that's an attack from the devil. Because if it was a true wife, she would be trying to unify your house, build your house, make your life stable and peaceful, and work with you to unify everything in a peaceable, orderly way. But if it's a Delilah or Jezebel, a house divided will not stand. Then they're trying to make you double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable. And all, so it shows with the drama, the left and right, up and down, he said, she said, this, that, and other. The drama is to destabilize you. So you can actually see when a person is trying to destabilize you or stabilize you. And so if you're already stable and everything's good, they come in and create chaos to destabilize you. Who is it? It's the devil. It's not from God. You're already stable. You're established. You're stable. You're not double-minded. You're single-minded. Everything's flowing. Everything's the way it's supposed to be. And they come in and try to destabilize your gift, your calling, your routine, your career, your job, your life. That has to be the devil. They don't even know it, though. What's causing them to be obsessed to destabilize you? What is in them? It's a demon. Or it's a Wiccan cult. Or it's a secret society. Or it's just a cult. It's either a demon through a cult, a witchcraft attack, It's from the dark side. Doesn't matter where it comes from. It's from the dark side. The Bible says, "Mark the perfect man, for the end of that man is peace." If they're not coming in peace, they might come in peace for a minute, but they're trying to destabilize you. So then, you know, it looks like peace, and then it turns into chaos. And then over enough time, enough cycles, because everything reveals itself, you're still in peace. They're not in peace. They're trying to, I don't know what they're trying to do. I don't really care anymore. But it's a life lesson that you pass on to other people, you know. You pass this life lesson on to others. When you're in peace and somebody shows up on the scene who has no peace, it's fake peace. It looks like peace, but you know it's not. And you might say, well, how do you know? Well, if there's an addiction of any kind, there's no peace. If there's three addictions, there's really no peace. Anybody in addiction is no peace. If you can't break all addictions, there's somewhere in your life you don't have peace. Every addiction should be able to be broke in Christ. And if you can't, sorry, you need to do a checkup. Looks like you go to the doctor. You better go to Dr. Grace. But you first better go to Dr. Law, because Dr. Law is going to say, you're a sinner and your sin stinks. You must be born again. But you first got to admit you're a sinner and your sins, you can't project your sin onto somebody else. You can't blame other people. You can't. See, a lot of people, they know they're messed up, but they have to pull somebody into their world that they can turn into a scapegoat. And so they can project their stuff onto that other person and blame that other person for them continuing in the addiction. They don't want to get healthy. They don't want to heal. They don't want to do what's right. They don't want to think right. They don't want sound doctrine. They don't want the truth. They want to have you around who has the truth so they can blame you for their insanity that they're in the middle of. I don't care what it is, depression, mind problems, psychological. They want to blame somebody, and they won't look in the mirror. They'll go to a psychologist and let a psychologist say, this is what's wrong, when it's not wrong. It's just sin. It's addiction. Cut out addiction, and all your physical, biological stuff will line back up. But if you have an addiction, you're messing up your whole body, and it affects your mind. The most of the time, when somebody's trying to get into somebody's life who's stable, unless they're just completely stable, most of the time there's some kind of hidden addiction. They're trying to vampire off of you. They see that you're stable and have a sound mind, and you're just going about, you're happy, you have joy, you have peace, love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. And they see that, they're drawn to that, but they don't have it. And then they try to vampire off of it, and try to pull you into that darkness that they're in. And it's like, I don't think so. And you say, I got to leave this situation. And then the drama starts. The trauma bond starts. Because they want to trauma bond you so that you don't escape and get back to normal. Which you are. You can snap your fingers. Within two or three days, you're back to normal, to be honest with you. So you just have to do some Jedi mind tricks. And I've talked about them before. All you have to do for like 24 hours is a Jedi mind trick that I've learned over the years, and within 24 hours I'm back to normal. And one way you can deal with a trauma bond, make it into a joke. Like at work, certain things we joke about, I say, can you believe, and we laugh about it. You turn it into a joke. The fastest way to break a trauma bond with something, any kind of trauma, turn it into a joke. Laugh about it, because 3D, what they're trying to do, the Archons and the Cosmocrators, the unseen forces, they're trying to get you stuck in 3D. Really, they still seriously are. He has too much peace. He's in the 5D mindset. Everything, he's just in peace. We got to stop that. Let's demon possess this person and put this on them and get them to lie. Because we know they're a narcissist or a Jezebel or whatever. Let's bring them into his life to try to stir him up. Because the flesh always persecutes the spirit. They don't have to do too much to find somebody, because that's pretty much 90% of the people. Let's send this agent over. Let's whisper in their ear, the Archons and the fallen angels and stuff. Let's whisper in their ear and let's send them over to persecute him and pull him out of 5D back to 3D. And you're like, I don't think so. I like what I got going on too much. It ain't gonna happen. I didn't invest and set these patterns for no reason. When you set some patterns for a long period of time, and especially if they're good patterns, why would you go to bad patterns? Why would you leave a good pattern that you've sown for many years and go back to the bad pattern? You won't. You wouldn't. You would have to be stupid or insane. If you had the mind of Christ, he slowly reveals to you what's really happening. When you finally cut it off and you tell yourself, that wasn't even real. Where's that person now? Can I call them and depend on? Are they there? Are they reachable 24/7? No. Are they loyal? No. Where are they? It was all talk. It was all flattery. It was all future faking and jibber jabber, fake reality. And when you finally wake up, it was all fake. I don't care if it's online or offline. Offline, there's been family members that are fake. You were raised in the same house and they were fake people. Just like online has fake people, offline has fake people. Where are they? Are they there for you when you need them? Can you call them? Hey, I need to ride to the emergency room. Are you nearby? No, you're not here. You're fake. You're fake as all get out. It is finished. When you tell yourself the truth and you do the Jedi mind trick, and what is the Jedi? Here's the easiest way to break a trauma bond. Get your ruler, put it in your back pocket, write down the truth. Put it in your pocket or your sock. And whenever the lie comes into your mind, take that ruler and hit your hand and sting your hand and tell yourself the truth. And within 24 hours, you're healed. Because the Bible is very clear, the truth will set you free. Well, they said they love me. That's a lie. It was flattery. If it was love, they would tell you the truth. If it was love, they wouldn't be abusive in their words or their actions or their demeanor or their body language or their side eye or their psychopathic stare, you know? If it was truth, it would line up with the truth. Their actions would line up with their words. But if it's actions contrary to their words based on lies, then it's not truth. So you take that rule and you hit your hand every time you have a thought. Within 24 hours, maybe 48, you're free. It wasn't real. It was a bubble. It was a fake reality consensus bubble that you stepped into, believing this person was who they said they were, and they were not. They were opposite. I could title this, How to Break the Jezebel Spell. The Jezebel Fake Reality Consensus Bible. But I don't care. I'm not even giving attention to Jezebel anymore. Once I see a demonic spirit, come out of that person. I know what I'm dealing with. If you see a demon, leave a person and go into an animal, you know what you're dealing with. And all you have to do, if you say, Lord, show me the truth, He'll show you the truth. A little bit of time goes by, and you say, okay, Lord, I just need one more clear-cut thing. And you pray, and it's awful clear after that. There's no denying it. You'll get to a point where there's no denying it. It's 100% fact, Jack. It's not real. They're not here. You can't touch them. You can't depend on them. Abusive language and actions. They project their sin onto you. You were a scapegoat. They didn't want a person in a marriage or anything. They wanted a scapegoat. They could project their sin onto you and blame you for their junk. And so all their craziness, they got to be able to blame somebody instead of admitting it themselves. And I saw this growing up, and I got away from it. I got away from these kind of people, and I never thought I would see it again. But once you see it, you can't unsee it. And I'm sorry, but I have to live in the truth. I don't care if it's my mama, my daddy, my kids, my sister, my brother, my friend, my whatever, my neighbor. I have to live in the truth. Y'all can live in the lies if y'all want to. Y'all can play games with each other if y'all want to, but I ain't playing this game. You might get fun out of drama, but I don't. And you notice these people, they always have a backup plan. They can play drama games with you, but if you notice, they got people behind them that keeps their ship stable. They're stable, but they're trying to destabilize you because they think you don't have us. I got local churches in every city. Every city I have fundamental independent Baptists everywhere I go. If I need some help, I go right down. I just walk up the street here a block and a half, and I'm with the family. I think I was a member of that church at one time. All I have to do is walk up the street. Hey, I need some help, Pastor. You help me out, I'll be here, I'll mow your yard, I'll do whatever when I get back on my feet. And they'll say, okay. Because I know them. See, that's what it is, born again. I got born again family online. And, you know, the unsaved don't understand that. They think we're dumb. For being kind to people, they think we're dumb. But we have the grace of God. We can be kind to people because God is kind to us.